In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant it by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola.
Pray for us.
O God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. The catechetical teaching moment will consist of the following. Before entering onto the playing field, there is what is called warm-up. You do not warm up properly, then you can pull a hamstring. That means you're going to be out for a month or 2 months, for the simple reason that you did not warm up properly. Now this is a very simple element of prayer, but essential. Sometimes we find ourselves floundering in our prayer period because we don't do the necessary steps of preparation. So you might, if you find you're struggling, maybe you're not getting off the ground, you're floundering, you're kind of like one of those hamsters or gerbils kind of going around in circles, no? You're spinning your wheels in the snow and you're never getting out. Maybe because you're not starting right. So I'll give you a way in which you can start your prayer period. Now I'm not being pedantic or speaking down to anyone by saying this, but sometimes we don't have a grasp on what's obvious, so we skip over the obvious. Come into the church, make a good genuflection, kneel down, start by kneeling down, make the sign of the cross, then always do your meditations with Mary present, asking Mary to pray for you and pray with you. Maybe you people are different. I can never do a holy hour if Mary is not present. It's just, for me, it's impossible. I find that if I invite Mary into my holy hour, I start to grow wings and I start to fly. And then, Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So invite the Holy Spirit to to be your interior master. In Ignatian prayer, we pray that all of our operations, intentions, and actions be done for the honor and glory of God. Never taught that in 12 years, but I'm teaching it now. That's actually number 46 in the exercise, that all of your intentions, operations, and actions be done for the honor and glory of God. Starting off your Ignatian prayer with that, are your intentions, operations, and actions being directed to the honor and glory of God. Sounds like a mini principle and foundation. And then beg for the grace. Beg for the grace. It may take 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes to carry through with those initial operations of preparation, but the other 55 minutes will flow more smoothly. Otherwise, you find yourself floundering the whole 60 minutes. No? So maybe try that next meditation. Instead of just throwing yourself into the thick of the meditation, warm up to it. And you find that God is going to be doing more of the work than you are. That's called the mystical life. You'll allow, let God do the work. The cliche, let go and let God. Well, okay. Let go and let God. So this afternoon, we'll give you a meditation you've all been longing for. We've been waiting for it the past couple of days. We're going to be meditating upon the four last things. Or if you like, the five last things. If I didn't give this, you'd probably say, Father, please give us the last things, okay? And they are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. All of this should be permeated or imbued with the reality of eternity. By eternity, we mean forever and ever and ever, and ever, and ever. If you do not do this in the light of eternity, it's incomplete. Our Lady of Fatima said, if the world would meditate upon eternity, the whole world would be saved. Our Lady Fatima said. Just how short life is. Life is very, very short. Very short. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. We are like the lily of the field. It rises, in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. By the way, that's the psalmist. St. James says that we are nothing more than smoke that's blown by the wind. St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Jesus says he will come like lightning. When he says he'll come, that means when he'll come to judge us, like lightning. So I'm giving you a lot of material, and what you can do, you can meditate on all of the topics, each would merit an hour talk. Or you can take maybe one of these topics and meditate upon that. So briefly let it go through these five topics, they're called the last things, but always related to eternity. Always related to eternity. It's incredible how time flies. 40 years ago I graduated from the university. It seemed like yesterday. 41 years ago, 78, no? It seemed like yesterday. And the older you get, mathematically, the faster time goes, no? Right, Barbara? So if you're 3 to 4, that's only 25% of your life. You're going from maybe 69 to 70. If you live to be 90, that's only going to be what, 3 or 4% of your life? More or less. As the poet says, time is of the essence. And Father Hurtado says, hay dos lugares para descansar, el cementerio y el cielo. Amen. Hay two places where we can rest, the cemetery and heaven. Like that? All right, so let's dive into these topics. Let's dive into the tomb now, okay? Death. Let me give you a biblical passage for each of these. Now in death you can talk about many different aspects, but I'm just going to talk about the precarious, uncertain quality of our death, which means we don't know we're going to die. We don't know. We could live another 50 years, we could live another 50 seconds. I don't want to sound apocalyptic or scary, but it's the truth, right? Okay, one of the best biblical passages to illustrate the untimely, unpredictable, precarious character of the human situation, the human plight, is Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. It's a story of a farmer who had a good harvest and he didn't know where to put his grain, so he decided to tear down his barns. And he said, I'll build spacious barns to put my harvest. Then I will relax, eat, drink, and be merry. I have a long life ahead of me. I'm going to live it up. Jesus says about that man, he says that he is a fool. Jesus says we should never call anyone a fool, but Jesus can, with full liberty. Because that very night, he's going to die. And has to go before the judgment seat of God. Where is it all going to go? To Uncle Sam. So see, if you can do these meditations well, not just as, well, these are kind of interesting, I like the way Father Bloom is speaking, these are very entertaining, okay, fine. You know. But if you can allow these to really touch your heart, I believe in all the exercises, this is the one that changes people most, if it's taken seriously. Of all the meditations, because it's a serious topic. We're going to be dead one day. So what you could do is call to mind any untimely death that seems to appeal to you. I mean, you hear it every day in the news, right? In hospitals, on the freeway, people that die that you would think are going to live another 50 years, right? I'll just give you one right now. I don't know the details, but there was an angel baseball player, Skag or something, who was probably in his late 20s, and the guy was found dead. Usually athletes are in tip-top condition. The guy was found dead. Most people think this guy's probably going to be a star. He's playing on the Angels, playing next to Mike Trout and Pujols, and he's got a future. He had his mass up there in Santa Monica the other day, right? Because he was a Catholic, too. He's dead. He's dead and buried. Where do you think that, you know, he'd at least be able to play until the end of September, at least finish the season? I know. The season is already over. Maybe heard the story of the two Catholic baseball players, both in their 90s, and one was saying, is there baseball in heaven? And they made a deal, whoever died first would have to come back and tell the other, the survivor, if there is baseball in heaven. So within a week, the guy that was 98 died, and after 3 days, the survivor was praying, and the guy came back and said, good news and bad news, there is baseball in heaven. Bad news is that you're pitching tonight. Okay, so read that biblical passage and call to mind maybe some untimely death, and then pray over it and beg the Lord for your own death. Beg the Lord for your own death. Beg the Lord for the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Amen? The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. That's a summary of principle and foundation once again. It's not important a long life or a short life, right? Health or sickness, riches or poverty, honors or humiliations. What's important is that we make it to heaven. Amen? Okay, second is death judgment. Soon as you die, God's mercy is over, you enter into the justice of God. There's an appointed time for every man to die and to be judged, you read in the writings of St. Paul. St. Paul also says, what you sow is what you're going to reap. Now, the biblical passage you can utilize for this is the same one you used actually yesterday, but it can be used in a different context. Matthew chapter 25. You go back and revisit that again. Jesus will separate the goats from the sheep. I was hungry, thirsty, naked, foreigner, sick and in prison. Whatsoever you did to the least of my brother, that you did unto me. So there is what is called the particular judgment, the moment you die. The general judgment is the end of the world. So there are two judgments. Okay, next. A couple of months ago, I was listening to Patrick Madrid on the radio, and he told a story from the life of St. John Bosco. Okay, related to this topic. Have any of you ever read the life of John Bosco? Yeah, many, many beautiful stories that can be applied to this topic. Probably the best version would be Alfrey, written by an Indian Salesian priest about 100 years ago. Alfrey. When John Bosco was in the seminary, it was very poor. And they had to sleep in bunk beds there in Turin when he was preparing to be a priest. He established a very good friendship with a guy whose name was Luis Comolo. And they're both intent upon becoming saints. And they both pray that they would have a holy and happy death. Comolo, who was probably in his early 20s, he got sick and he died. And Bosco was praying for him. After a couple nights, Bosco was in bed, and he heard a noise. It was like horses that were rushing on the top of the roof. They were dragging a carriage. And then there was thunder. And once again, it sounded like the horses were dragging the chariot. And then all of a sudden, there was a silence in the midst of the dormitory. John Bosco heard the voice of Luis Comolo. Bosco! Bosco, I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! Bosco, I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! I pray that when you die, you'll be able to say the same thing. Oh God, when we die, we'll be able to say, we're saved. I hope that as soon as they go before the Lord, He's going to say, you're saved. I hope that for you too. That's the whole purpose of these exercises. Voss, who was very strong, was so debilitated by that, he was sick for about 2 days. The emotion was so penetrating in his whole being. See the importance of the salvation of one soul. And later on, that touched him so much that that's recorded in his writings. Any good writing of John Voss will have that inserted within the text. Don't we all pray that when we die, the Lord is going to say, you're saved? Yes. So in your meditation, you can be praying over that. Okay, now I'm going to say something that's going to be difficult. You might even ask the Lord, Lord, could you tell me my biggest obstacle that might prevent me from being saved? Do you have enough courage to ask the Lord that? Hello? Death, judgment, heaven. So you have a story on heaven. I'll give you the biblical verse. In the Bible, probably the best biblical passage that explains using poetic literary descriptive images. You find one better than this, then tell me and I'll be using it, but Revelation 21 and 22. I've never read anything better where they give graphic detail of what heaven is like, using these beautiful walls, the temple in sapphire and chalcedonia and pearls and the golden streets. It's about the best that can be penned, I think, using human language. Of course, it's going to be far short of reality. Think about the most precious jewels that you have. Gold, the most beautiful palace. That's what the author tries to do. And obviously this is the Holy Spirit that's behind this. No? So what you're reading is just going to be a pale image of what it is. And I say just a pale glimpse of what heaven is. That's why St. Paul says in Corinthians, right? Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. Nor is it entered into the mind of man. The wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. Nor is it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now on hell, so that's Revelation 21, 22. On hell, this may surprise you, is Revelation 20. So Revelation 20, speaks about Satan and hell and fire. Two chapters after that, you've got, in juxtaposition, you've got both hell and then heaven in the last book of the Bible. But let me tell you the best number you have in the Diary of St. Faustina, that I went over this with my group about 2 weeks ago. St. Faustina had a vision of the two ways. You might even write down Psalm number one gives you the two different ways. One that leads to destruction, the other one that leads to eternal life. And Faustina receives this vision. There are elegant people that are enjoying life. They're dancing, they're singing, they're drinking, they're sinning, they're enjoying life. And it's a wide and spacious path. Then all of a sudden, as they're enjoying life, there's a precipice and a chasm. And all of a sudden, they're falling off this precipice, catapulting into this chasm, which is filled with fire. That's one vision. Then the other is, it's a narrow, winding, labyrinthian hill that's going up and winding, and it's strewn with thorns and stones and rocks and potholes, and you see people carrying a cross, surmounting this steep, labyrinthian, somewhat dangerous hill or even mountain. And they're falling, and they're getting up. They're falling, they're cutting themselves, they're getting up. They're suffering, strewn with thorns. And before they even are aware of it, they've made it to the very top, and all of a sudden everything has changed, and they're in this beautiful meadow with birds singing, with beautiful flowers, with the fragrance, celestial fragrance of roses, and they've completely forgotten all they suffered because they've arrived at heaven. There you have it. All the sufferings are forgotten. They are safe home. The others have fallen, catapulted themselves into the pit of fire, never to leave again. She's giving a description of what Jesus says. What Jesus says, the pathway to hell is wide and spacious, and many choose that. Whereas the road that leads to heaven is very narrow, and very few people choose that path. Look at the world in which we live. Isn't that the reality of the present world in which we live, Los Angeles? Everyone is heading on a highway to the precipice, to destruction, unaware of their judgment, which is right around the corner. So time is of the essence. Meditate upon the reality of death. Meditate upon the reality of judgment. Meditate upon the reality of heaven. Meditate upon the reality of hell. And all of this permeated, imbued with the reality of eternity. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And please end with a triple colloquy. Beg the Blessed Virgin Mary, say the Hail Mary with fervor. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me poor sinners, now and at the hour of my death. Amen. Have a colloquy with Saint Joseph. He's the patron of a holy and happy death. Saint Joseph. And beg the Lord Jesus that he will be your best friend in time and throughout all eternity. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. It's a good topic.
Yep. So do you want me to do a simple exposition at 6:30, Father?
Oh. Yeah, why don't you do it? Yeah, okay. You can do that. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be helpful, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now going, like, what you're
going to
do tonight?
Oh, sure. Well, tonight is a little bit different. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to do something I've never done before. Gillick has sold me the book of Jonah.
Oh, great.
And what I'm going to do is it's a book which is basically called a conversion.
Great.
And kind of a summary of what we've been doing the past couple of days. Yeah. So
okay.
I don't have any. I do have it in my book.